How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I'm the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest, and his name is actually Greg Moore. And Greg is a financial consultant. On top of that, he is a best-selling author of a book called Real Freedom: Why Franchises Are Worth Considering and How They Can Be Used for Building Wealth. On top of that, he personally has managed restaurants, his own rental units. And on top of that, he's owned many other franchises out there. So it's an absolute honor to have him on here today. So, Greg, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining me.
Will, I really appreciate you having me today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. I was doing a lot of research on you, and it sounds like you're up to a lot of great and positive things out there. So I'm excited to kind of have this conversation with you. And so to start off, I want to ask you a question that I pretty much ask all of my guests, which is, what makes you want to take time out of your busy day to hop on podcasts like these to kind of reveal your story and tell your story to people that want to listen to it?
Education. When I'm working with people on franchising, the thing I like about it best is educating people on it. Franchising is not for everybody. I'll tell you that right off. Okay. It is not the greatest thing since sliced bread for every single person out there. So it's not a sales process. It's more getting you educated. So I love taking the time out of my day to educate people. That way they can make a decision whether or not they want to reach out, talk to me about it, have questions about it. Not everybody I talk to gets into franchising. Education, having options, best thing in life.
I love that. And you're 100% right. People just need to know that there are options out there and what those options are. And just like you said, some people are going to fit into this, some people aren't. But you got to know what it is in case you can't fit into it. So jumping into your personal story, I want to go back a little bit. So what was your come up like? Did you always get involved with entrepreneurship, or how did you get started with franchising and entrepreneurship in general?
Oh, great question, Will. So we're going to go back many, many, many years ago. Okay, I'll keep it short though. Back in high school, I'm going to date myself here, but back in the late 70s in high school, most of us, when we got jobs, we got jobs at fast food places. Simplest place to go. I just happened to pick Taco Bell, whatever reason. Maybe they're hiring at the time. I have no idea. But I moved up in the Taco Bell world and started working for the person there who happened to be a master franchisor who owned 50 different franchises throughout the Sacramento, California, Woodland, California area. And that's where I got my first kind of foray into franchising. I went on to manage many restaurants, or not many restaurants, another restaurant after that, Alliance Restaurant. Did that for about 15 years, got a degree in electrical engineering and physics, became a microelectronic circuit engineer. While I was doing that, I decided I want to get even more education. Always good to get educated. So I got my master's degree in business. While I was doing that, I read Robert Kiyosaki's books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that just about ruined my corporate career for me. That was about the end of it on that one. I realized that there's something better out there. So me and another engineer, we started thinking about what we could do. We bought a dry cleaners, privately owned dry cleaners, ran that, bought some storage unit, ran those, had some real estate properties, ran those as well. So that's when I realized that there's something better out there. And these were just things we did on the side as we're doing our engineering work. So that's Robert Kiyosaki's book, probably the one that really got me into entrepreneurship, thinking there's got to be something better than 7 to 5 every day. And lo and behold, the way the world works, at one point in time, I got laid off. So it's like, all right, well, somebody out there is telling me it's time to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, and go out there and just get out of the corp, stay out of the corporate world. And go get yourself another business. I sold everything I had, my half of all those private businesses, to my friend who was doing that, who got laid off also. He wanted to run those full time. And I said, I got to do my own business. That private business, boy, that's a lot of work doing that private business because you got to do it all yourself. You got to, everything's you. And you, and I had no idea how to run a dry cleaner. So we had learned all that. So I thought that franchising thing was pretty cool. I like that. So I'm going to go out there and get myself a franchise. So that's how I got into franchising. As that's a whole nother story as far as how I got into my first franchise, all that, but that's how I got into entrepreneurship and franchising specifically.
Yeah, well, that is such a cool, backstory on you. And it's really interesting to me that you were an engineer, right? That means you were a numbers guy and you're still were kind of able to step out of your zone and go into entrepreneurship and venture into franchising. I think a lot of people that come up into entrepreneurship don't have that fantastic engineering background, right? Or like a safe, stable job where they went to college and did all this stuff. But here you are, still making that switch over, still realizing the potential that entrepreneurship has. Like you said, it really came from rich dad, poor dad. I love what you said, right? You were working from 7 to 5. It's like there's got to be something better. So you decided to trade your 7 to 5 for a 24/7 job, right? So with your private business, basically. Yeah. So that's always funny, right? How much work actually goes into owning a business compared to what people think it's actually going to be like. So I'm glad you really brought to bring that up. Real quick, I want to touch on what was the biggest takeaway that you took from reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that kind of what triggered your mindset from obviously being a 9 to 5, being an engineer, pretty much having a stable job, even though you got laid off, right? But what really changed in your mindset to be like, this isn't the future I want to have. I need to step into entrepreneurship. I need to have business ownership. What was that transition for you?
So at the same time that I was reading a great question, well, at the same time I was reading Robert Kiyosaki's books, where I was, going over with my manager what my step up would be in different positions on that if I had not laid off. So I saw there that they had a fixed rate of pay for every position you went into, and a few years that you had to be in a certain position and do a few things before you hit that next rate of pay. So that rate of pay was not going up very quickly as far as what your top end could eventually be. And then reading Robert Kiyosaki's book, it's like there is no limit to what your top end of income could be. It's all entirely up to how you go out there and utilize your skill set and run different businesses. So the sky's the limit, basically, when you run your own businesses and what you do out there on that. So that's really was kind of the kind of the aha moment. It's like, if I really want to get ahead in life, not have to work 7 to 5, work 24 hours a day instead, as you put it, but
Right.
working on something that is me and mine. And I can decide whether or not I want to put in that many hours, the more effort I put into it, or having other people put their efforts into it and hire them to do that to help me along, then the more money I get and the potential is greater there on that. So that's really, putting those things together was really the aha moment where I decided that corporate thing's got a limit, upper limit on what you can make. And you're still putting in the same amount of hours. You've got to go to a place, sit in your cube all day long. Entrepreneurship, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I love that mindset. And out of curiosity, how old were you when you read that book and you made that switch?
I was about 48 when I read it, and my actual goal in life was to get out of the corporate world by the time I was 50. And thankfully, my manager helped me out with that and said,
Right, yeah.
49 and a half, you're gone. It's like, okay, that
Oh.
works for me. That's
Yeah.
what my goal was.
Put your goals out there, and the universe will answer it, right? That's what they always say. So,
There you go.
yeah, but I love that, right? So, 48 years old, I think a lot of people today struggle because they see social media, they see posts online where people are just crushing with business ownership, and they think it should all happen so quickly, right? And then here you are making that switch over like in your 40s. And it's the thing, like, you have time, right, to make that switch over and just be patient with it. And just know that your journey is not going to be the same as someone else's journey, but you got to have patience with that. And realize where you want to go at the end of the day. So even for you, still made that switch at in your 40s, right? And you made it work. So I think it's a cool point.
Exactly, but exactly. Good point.
Yeah. And so I want to jump into, why did you decide to go down the franchising route instead of just owning like your own private business where you started something up from scratch? Like, what are the main differences for you and the main positives of going down the franchise route rather than going down your own private business route?
Great question, Will, which I talk with a lot of my people on that particular aspect, especially my entrepreneurial people on that. So there is good and bad points about both on that one. The reason I did it, went the franchising route, because I had already done the private route with buying an existing business on there. As far as, and it was, again, as I said, it was a lot of challenges along the way trying to figure out how it works, trying to come up with my own idea. I didn't have any of the latest, greatest ideas for running my own business or what I want to do. And the reason I chose franchising was because back in my Taco Bell days, I ran a whole bunch of different restaurants for the lady that owned 50 of them. I bebopped around hers and I helped her build those businesses up. And it was the same exact playbook and everything I did. So it was really simple and really fun. As far as private businesses, you're doing all that yourself. So you put your own ideas and efforts into it. You can do whatever you want with it. You get all the money, but everything you're doing is yourself,
Right.
which is great. It's a good thing. I mean, you can do whatever you want. A franchise, you got to pay for that. So you pay $50,000 franchise fee, give or take. Give or take. It doesn't matter which franchise you get into for the most part. It's all around 50,000, and you've got the royalties, 5 to 10% off the top end. So you don't get it all, and you pay for it. But what do you get for it? Well, you don't have to come up with the latest, greatest idea. Somebody else has already done the back end work for you, has made the mistakes along the way, and has got a playbook, a step by step playbook. That you follow that step by step playbook, and you should get to where you want to be 2 to 3 years quicker than if you were to go out and do it yourself on that one. So, and you've got that help. You've got that franchisor's help. You'll be talking with franchisees along the way, and most franchises give you a protected territory, so no other franchisee is competing with another franchisee. So now you've got that franchisor that's helping you build that up. You've got those other franchisees in your system helping you build up. So you've got a whole team of people, a whole network, a whole tribe of people that are helping you build your place. So, but you pay for it. So, and you've got guidelines to follow on that. So it's a really a personal decision, well, one way or the other, as far as which way to go with some people. Whether you go private, you do everything, you're in total control, do everything you want, whatever you want. But you're doing it by yourself, or you pay for it and you get some help on that. Good points and bad points about each one.
Like you mentioned, the idea is already done, right? Something you can step into if you have the capital up front, just kind of step into a pretty good idea that's already working in other places and just kind of mimic that success. Now, from my perspective, if I'm looking on franchise, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see it kind of the income is limited, right? At the end of the day, like potential, because if you're owning a Taco Bell, there's only so many tacos or, so many burritos you can sell in a year, right? So at the end of the day, it kind of is limited in that perspective. Would you agree with that?
Depending on which type of franchise you got into, that is a valid point on that one. So if you're looking at something that's a brick and mortar place, as you indicated, something where you have a product, then you're open a certain number of hours, and there's only a certain number of product that you can produce throughout the day. If you're looking at something in the services industry, where you have like a restoration type business, or electrical or plumbing, on that. Then it's pretty open on that one. As you go through the process, you'll talk to the franchisees that are making the most money. You'll always ask the franchisor to do that. So you get kind of a feel for what is the top end on that. And you want to talk to the ones that have one territory, top end producers, so you kind of get an idea of what that is. But say, let's take for instance, senior care. That one I know pretty good. On that one, when you're helping out seniors on that one, they're going to give you a territory size of 30,000 seniors. You get 50 seniors into that business, and your top end revenue is probably going to be right around $1 million, and you're dropping a couple hundred thousand to the bottom line. Okay. So you have a territory size of 30,000. You've only got 50, and you've already got $1 million. So now your challenge is to go out there and get that other 29,000 plus on there. So you have the potential to do it. On that. So it's with the services industry, there's a lot more potential. And what you do is, if you really want to make some more money with those brick and mortars, for instance, yeah, you've got the certain territory, is you go out and you buy more territories, you invest in more territories, and that's how you bring in more money.
Gotcha. I like that. Yes, there's obviously different models out there. Now, for people that want to get involved in franchising, for instance, they think it's a really good idea. I think you mentioned it's like $50,000 to start up, maybe for depending on what the franchise is. How do people come up with that money starting out? Is this something where they should be saving up until they can personally handle that? Is this something they should find a venture capitalist for in order to raise that kind of money? Or what would you recommend for someone in a situation where they don't have a ton of money, but they want to get involved in entrepreneurship in owning a franchise business?
So two different ways you go about doing that. Well, use your money, use other people's money. So if in my case, what I did is I didn't want to go into debt. So I got laid off. So I had that 401k plan from the previous employer. If you have a 401k plan from a previous employer, you can roll that over into a self-directed 401k or an IRA. If you have that, you can roll that over self-directed on that and use your money to do it. And we've got people that'll do that for you. We've got people that'll do funding for franchises. Funding for franchises is absolutely simple. As long as you've got good credit, you're good to go. And we do it all the time. So now you want to use other people's money, which is what a lot of my investors do. As you indicated, Will, you don't have a lot of money. You need to find a way to invest in that. SBA, we'll use that as an example. We have people that do SBA financing, funding all the time. It takes about a month. So a service industry franchise, for instance. Total investment, including the franchise fee, you're looking at $150,000, give or take, on something like that. You would go with an SBA Express loan on that one. So assuming you've got great credit, you're good to go. You'll need about $20,000 down. So as long as you've got around $20,000 to invest in that franchise, your credit's looking good, you can get into almost any service industry franchise for that. And the SBA will give you an Express loan for about $150,000, $200,000 brick and mortar, you'll go the 7A route, you're going to have to come up with a little bit more. You're going to have to come up with 20% down on something like that. And the brick and mortar franchises can run 300, 400,000 or more. So you're looking at, 60, 80,000 for brick and mortar. But if you want to get into a franchise, service industry, great money in those, $20,000, good credit, you got it made.
Yeah. And it seems like most people should be able to have that, right? Stepping into that. And so it seems like a really good opportunity if more people just know about it, right? So from your experience, what has been the main issue or main struggle for people just getting involved in franchising and starting on franchise business? Like, what is the main struggle that people have trouble overcoming just to get involved with this industry or jumping into entrepreneurship?
Perfect. My people, when I talk to them, especially my real estate investors on that, I got a lot of real estate investors who do that. Well, when you and I are driving around, we see McDonald's, Taco Bell, Supercuts, all those ones, Meineke, Maaco, and we think it's going to cost $500,000, $1 million to get into a franchise, and we got to do it full time. Okay. Neither one of those cases. So that's the biggest hurdle that I have when most people first call me, is that's what they think about, because you and I, well, that's what we see when we're driving around all the time. So that's really the biggest hurdle, is realizing the fact that it's not going to take $1 million to get the franchise, and you don't have to work it full time on
Yeah.
that. The one main thing that you have to have is you have to be coachable on that. As long as you're coachable, we can find a franchise for you that fits in within what you're comfortable investing and what kind of time you have to invest. So we have plenty of semi-absentee franchises out there, 10 to 15 hours a week. You manage the manager, you manage the profit and loss statements in many different industries on that. So I think the biggest hurdle is just having people realize how many different options there actually are out there in the world of franchising.
Yeah, and just overcoming the limiting beliefs, right? I think like we talked on earlier, it's just education. You got to be educated to know what's really going on. Like you don't know what you just don't know, and that's just it at the end of the day, right? That's why you got to be on podcasts like these and telling people what you do and how to do it, right? So,
Well put. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. And so jumping into your story, so do people primarily come to you in order to get help starting a franchise? Is that what you're primarily focusing on right now?
That is correct. So it's a very daunting process. So back to my story then of how
Yeah.
I got into franchising. I'll make it short, real short this time on that one. When you're first getting started, it can be kind of a challenge on that one. So got laid off, decided I'm going to go out there and find myself a franchise. Went out on the internet and went click happy. That one looks good. Oh, it looks good. That one looks good. So I got like 20 different franchise development people calling me, coming. This is the greatest franchise since forever. I
Yeah.
finally got a hold of a franchise consultant on that, who streamlined the process, made it very simple, made it a whole lot less confusing, because there's 5,000 franchises out there in the US today.
Yeah.
Now I only work with about 500 of them, but 5,000 is a lot to choose from. So the franchise consultant, he just takes a look at where have you been? Where are you at now? Where do you want to be? So when you come to me, that's what we're looking to do, is we're looking to make that a lot less confusing, streamline that process for you. You can go out there and do it yourself. You talked about my book that I wrote to begin with. If you go out there and check out my book, it's got that entire process for you. You and I will go through to investigate franchises, to search for franchises, how to investigate them. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer and you don't want my help is free. But if you don't want my help, that's fine. Check out the book. You can get the book for free on my website. So that'll give you the step-by-step process. But a franchise consultant is going to simplify that process for you. We look at where have you been? What do you bring to the table? What's your skill set? What franchises are looking for your skill set? I know which franchises are looking for your skill set. Where are you at now? How much time are you willing to invest? How much money are you comfortable investing? And then what do you see that franchise doing for you 5 to 10 years from now? That way I can work with you to tailor franchises that are what you're looking for. At the same time, I know that's what you are, who the franchisors are looking for, and I can do that match up between the two of you. And that's how our system works.
I love that. I think that's an excellent system, and people need guidance in that realm, right? You mentioned there's over 5,000 to choose from. You work at 500. I still think 500 is a lot. So that's definitely a lot of franchisers that you got to know personally, and then you help people connect them to. So I think that's definitely a fantastic idea on that route. And another thing I want to touch on is that I read before that you own rental units as well. And I think a lot of people, when they think of entrepreneurship and one of the best things to get into, it's real estate, right? Owning rental real estate. But from your vantage point, I want you to just kind of compare and contrast what you've seen between owning rental properties and real estate or owning a franchise unit. And what do you personally think is better for a person?
When I owned my real estate property, it was basically I was over in Austin, Texas, and the house prices wasn't too bad. The house price was about the same as you would get into a service industry franchise for. It's around $150,000, $200,000, for the rental property that I got into. It's basically the same thing of running a rental property as you would running a service industry franchise, semi-passive. So I had the property manager run it for me. The things that I ran into with, of course, the having a rental property was that it wasn't always rented on that. So I could have a good stream of income as long as I kept a good stream of renters in there on that. So you still had the overhead, like you have with a franchise, a rental property. You still have a certain overhead that you got to do. But sometimes my renters would leave, and then I'd have a period of not making any money because I'd have to wait for another a renter to come into there. And with a service industry franchise, since we're comparing them around the same investment level, what you're doing there is now you have that service is constantly in need. And what you're doing with that now is you start out kind of slow. It's normal with a business on that. Franchises will help you grow quickly, but you start building that business up over time, over time, over time. So you've got more and more income coming in. You've got more clients coming in. So you gradually get that up until you hit that plateau of what your territory can handle. Where with the rental unit, you just had that renter, and that one renter was that plateau. And you couldn't put more renters in there because I don't think that's quite legal to rent it out to more than one family at a time. Nobody would really appreciate that on that. So you couldn't increase that $150,000, $200,000 investment. You couldn't increase that income any. You were at that one plateau with the service industry franchise or any franchise for that matter. You can continue building that up to a greater plateau. So that's where I find that, and it seems like it's, running my own service industry franchise. I did it myself, but it seems like it was about the same amount of actual effort that you put into it. Either way, you just have the more of a chance to make more money with that franchise system. You sell your house at the end of the day if you don't want it. The value of the house builds up. You have that. Same thing with that franchise system. You're building value into that business every day you do it. The more money that you make, the more value that you're putting into that business. So both of them can be sold at any point in time for a profit. Both of those are equal to just the fact that you can bring in more money over time and it continues to rise. So that's why I like the franchise system better.
Interesting. And that was going to be my next question. Do you see the appreciation being the same amount just about with a franchise growing over time and like a rental unit growing over time, or do you think one is higher than the other?
The franchise will be higher than the other, assuming the fact that you build up those revenues higher than that, because you can generally get around 3 times net plus any equipment that you have with that franchise on there. So, with that senior care that I was talking about, if you build it up to 300 to 200,000, you can get 600,000 for that on that, which over time, which may be more than you could get for a $150,000 house over time, depending on how long you kept that for and depending on the neighborhood. So many, many variable factors in there. But generally speaking, I would say that with the franchise business, the more you build it up, the more net income you have, the greater value you have, and the more you're going to get for it at the end of the day, as opposed to a house.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. It's definitely a unique perspective, I think, 'cause I think just people don't understand franchising that well enough to make that decision, right? 'Cause people just hear real estate, they hear do this, do this, do this, but really underlying what is really the best business you can jump into with for the low cost amount, right? For $20,000, you can open up your own franchise. Like that to me is pretty incredible. And that can really help create some financial independence, which I think people need, especially nowadays with our economy, what's going on in the world. Like you got to be your own boss at the end of the day. That's it.
True. Good point.
And so I want to jump back into your story here a little bit. And so, first of all, you mentioned that you took your 401k after getting laid off and invested your 401k, which is your retirement plan, into your own franchise. So was that scary, or what was the mindset on that? Like, were you at all nervous, like, oh man, like what am I doing? Or what was that process like for you?
I do recall one night waking up screaming. Very true. Yes, I did that. That was a big challenge because now you're looking at the money that you're looking to eventually retire on and build that up. You're going to use that part of that or the whole thing, depending on how much that you've built up for that. and use it to the business. So basically there was no failure. You could not fail. It was just like, there's no way I'm going to fail in this. I got to do this. So you've got to get the right franchise for that, sort of thing when you're doing that. So you've got to go through the process of picking out the right people that you want to work with on that, and then following that plan of that franchisor on there. Because at any point in time, if I had failed, that would have been the end of the business, the end of the retirement plan, and back to the corporate world, which would have been, wouldn't have liked that a bit on that one. So you just have to be real cautious. Go through the due diligence process of looking into that franchise system if that's what you want to do. And yeah, mine was, I was concerned the whole time. I went through a few different franchises, and I picked out a couple of them that I looked at where I did the math. So you put your pro forma together, you're looking at when the money is going to start coming in, what kind of money that you're spending out. And there's a couple of them I turned down, and I talked to the franchisor about it, and I said, there's a distinct possibility I will actually run out of money before I get that franchise up and running. And the franchisor looked at how much money I had to invest, what the cost to do it. They were like, yep, you're right. There is that possibility that you will. So I turned those ones down because that risk was just a little bit too high. So when I got into the one I was looking at, I realized how much I had to spend for the franchise fee. And so there's a franchise fee, and then there's total investment. So for mine, now I work from home. The total investment was just the franchise fee plus advertising and marketing, whereas the one that I turned down, I needed an office for. So I needed the office space. I needed a couple of people working for me. So a little bit more overhead. So the one I chose, when I did the pro forma, then by the time money was coming in, I still had money left over from that 401k plan. So everything lined up.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's so important, so crucial that people understand the full picture and realize that at the end of the day, this is still a business. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have a lot of rough nights where you wake up screaming and you're like, what am I doing? Right? It's a scary moment. And so going back to that full picture, because I think people listening is like, man, it might be easy to start a franchise, get it up and running, make it successful. And there's, possibility of that, but for you, what is the hardest part about making a franchise successful? Even though you have the blueprint in front of you, even though it's pretty much all set up for you, you just got to step into it, run it. What are just like the most difficult challenges, I would say, of running a franchise and keeping it going, keeping it successful over long periods of time?
Yeah, that's great. Great question there. Well, for me, with my story, the greatest challenge was the fact that for 30 years, I'd gone into a place of business, and then I had my schedule throughout the day that I did. So there was no distractions. You were just there. This is what you did. So now, I'm working from home. So the one I picked, I work from home. So now, what I had to do was I had to come up with my own schedule. So there was probably a few weeks in there where, I'd be sitting down, maybe not quite that long, but a couple of weeks in there where I'd sit down, I start having lunch, and I start thinking about what I did. It's like, I didn't do anything. What did I do for my business today? It's like, I didn't get hardly anything accomplished. So the biggest challenge for me, especially if you're going to step away from your job and do this and do it full time, is getting that schedule set and getting that plan of action, especially if you're working from home, because there's a lot of distractions in there. Is really getting that mindset that these are the things that need to be done. What are your goals? What are you going to accomplish for the day? Have that plan of action right there. Have a step-by-step doing that. If you're looking at something where you're going to keep your day job and you're just going to run it on the side, then the biggest challenge is for that sort of thing is just making sure you have a great manager in place and you stay up with them. But you asked me about my story. So mine was just that working from home, trying to get that schedule in there and getting that schedule done and saying, these are the hours I'm going to spend these hours on it, sit in front of the computer, sit in front of the phone, make those phone calls, do whatever it takes, follow the plan of action from that franchisor and have just that, this is step by step. I've got it down so well now that my dogs know exactly what time I'm going to get up and take them for a walk. So if I go overtime, they'll start pacing the room. So they know at 10 o'clock, it is time to go for between 8 and 10. I'm going to be doing this. They'll sleep. I can have them in here during meetings. I got them in here during meetings right now. They won't move a muscle. At the time that I normally go for a walk, now they'll start getting up and pacing. So they've got my schedule down. I've got my schedule down. That's the biggest thing. You got to get that schedule.
That's awesome. And that's definitely a fantastic point because when you're working 9 to 5 and you're being told what to do, you have a schedule pretty much built in for you. But stepping out of that, you got a lot more freedom on your hands. You can spend that a lot of different ways and get it distracted, like you mentioned, very easily. So you got to stay on top of things and realize, keep the main thing, and what you got to focus on is what you got to do that day, right? So that is definitely important. And so I want to bring up another point. So you mentioned that people can reach out to you, you're going to help them for free. Your book is for free on your website, which you also talked about. What is your purpose for doing all this stuff? You're kind of for free. You know what I mean? Like, what's your drive to do that?
Well, if you want to pay for my book, it's out on Amazon. I don't mind you paying for it at all. You can do it that way. But the purpose is, I find that the more people that I get this information in front of, the more people realize the fact that there are many different options in franchising out there. If I was to just to sell everything, it puts up a barrier for people. And I don't know if I really want to buy into that on that. As far as, me not charging people for my services, no franchise consultant charges for their services. The franchisors pay us a referral fee if somebody decides they want, if you decide you want to get involved in the franchise I introduce you to, that franchisor will pay me a referral fee for it. So never any charge for that. And the reason again is just the more I find that the more people I educate and the more I just give them this information, here you go, have a book. I mean, you can send me your physical address, and I'll send you a copy of my book, just like this, over to you if that's what you want on that. Because the more people that learn about it, and the more people start realizing, oh, kind of an aha moment for them that there are options out there, the more people reach out to me and want to talk to me.
Yeah. And I think what you're doing, and especially in today's environment, is more important than ever before. I mean, the amount of people that live paycheck to paycheck, that are working 9 to 5, that have barely no time to spend any time with their family, they're waking up, going to work, eating dinner when they come home, and going to sleep. And that to me, it's just not a life. There's no work-life balance there, right? And so when you think about it, if there's a way where someone can save $20,000 in like a year's time, like just dedicated time to put $20,000 aside, jump into a franchise part-time. And then that franchise can actually retire you. And then you can just keep copy and pasting that formula and just grow your business, keep adding on more franchises. Then, boom, 5, 10 years down the road, you could be seriously financially free and in a really good position, right? So it's just getting the word out there. And people just need to be comfortable with making that jump and understand there's going to be a certain amount of risk. There always is going to be, but you still just got to make that jump and realize what's best for you out there. So.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of ways to reduce the risk. We'll go over that as well. One of the questions I ask people is reducing risk. If you're a do-it-yourselfer out there and you want to reduce your risk, stick with franchises that have 100 or more franchisees. That way, they've reproduced it so many times before, your risk is reduced quite a bit.
Yeah, I love it. And so before we run out of time here, I just want to ask you a couple more questions. So one, you published your book. What is your main goal of the book, and what do you hope people to take away from reading your book?
Main goal was, again, just for education. What the book was about is that so many people asked me the same questions over and over again. The book answers them all. So with what I figured out, I get that book out to you. My goal was to get you those answers before you actually reached out to me, because a lot of people may be nervous about reaching out. They're thinking I'm trying to sell them something. They get to know me in that book. Yeah, they want that. And
Yeah.
I'll have real world examples of people that I worked with in the book as well on there. So you get your questions answered. You get some examples of people I worked with. You get to do it yourself process, DIY process right through the whole thing. So that was really the goal, is just to get that information out in front of people, so that they realize that there are options out there. And then if they want to call me, if they want to get some help with that, need some support, I'm here to guide you.
Awesome. Awesome. And so off that note, if people want to go and find your book, how can they go find any mentors? Amazon, also on your website. What is your website if people want to go there and try to find your book?
My website is franchisemaven.com. That's franchise. MAV as in Victor, EN.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com, or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
Awesome. Appreciate that. And people definitely reach out to him. He just gave you his phone number. So definitely take advantage of that. Appreciate that. And before you hop off, is there anything else that you would like to say?
Will, I really appreciate you having me on today. My website, franchisemaven.com. You will find a due diligence process on there, what to go through to look for a franchise, 7 mistakes to avoid with a franchise, all these downloaded for free. Matrix of business types, get the creative juices flowing about the different types of franchises that you can get from out there. PDF copy of my book if you want it. And if you feel like it, there's my scheduler right there, all on the first page.
Awesome. All right, guys, there you have it. Greg Moore, thank you so much for joining me today.
I appreciate you having me, Will. Thank you very much, sir.